We're going to start by looking at Luke chapter 11. So if you have your Bible with you, turn with me there if you would like. But the words will be up on the screens behind me. Now that the kids are gone, we can talk about them. Let me talk about kids for a second. No, I'm just kidding. Luke 11 will be verses 1 through 4. I love the kids. They're fantastic. Thank you for those who are helping this morning. Luke 11, 1 through 4, it says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he was finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Luke's version is a little bit shorter than the Matthew's version that we're a little bit more familiar with. But so far in our prayer series that we're calling Don't Hang Up, it's about don't hang up the phone with God, don't stop the conversation with God in prayer. We've covered several different things. We've covered, the posture of our prayers being the sense of stillness and be still and know that I am God, kind of stillness. That there are times that we might have to go to prayer in this frantic, I just need to pray right now kind of thing, but I think it's going to be more effective for ourselves and for our connection with God if we take that moment, if we're able to have a sense of stillness and shutting everything else off and not worrying about that obligation and that schedule and that need and just, Lord, it's just me and you, stillness in prayer. When we can. We also talked about the starting point for prayer being not my needs or even somebody else's needs, but the starting point for prayer being worship, being adoration, saying, thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for all that you've given me. You alone are holy. Hallowed be thy name. I set apart your name alone in my heart. Your name is the one that is holy. Your name is the one that I elevate and worship above all things. We talked about an essential step of prayer being confession, of naming the stuff, saying, forgive me, Lord, for that, getting right with God, naming the things we need to name and asking for forgiveness for the things that we need to name. And last week, we talked about our prayer ministry to others, this prayer ministry of intercession, seeing the needs in our family, our community, our world, and lifting them up to God in prayer, being that intercessor, that go-between, saying, I'm with you in this. I'm going to pray that for you and with you, a ministry of intercession. But today, so today we're looking at a different aspect of prayer. We're talking about prayers of petition. Petition prayers are simply praying for our needs. Praying for our own needs. It's asking God and making requests for the things that we need. Lord, I make a petition to you, an ask of you, requesting this certain thing. And Eugene Peterson, he's a famous Christian leader and author, he says that praise and thanksgiving are always appropriate. Certainly. And later on in the quote, he talks about, we're going to praise and worship God for all eternity someday. But here and now, we mostly ask. Jesus taught us to ask. Asking is good. Asking God is not, it can be, but when we have this real heart or life need, that's not a selfish prayer. He teaches us, Jesus teaches us to ask. That petition is that middle part of the Lord's Prayer in Luke's Gospel. Give us each day our daily bread. That is a petition. Give us each day our daily bread. And we're going to look a little bit deeper at just this one verse. There's a lot to these several words. It begins with give us. That starts with this request, an ask of God to give us something. But before we really dive into that, prayer is, there's this mysterious element of prayer that we need to really not shy away from. We got to name it and talk about it. Because prayer is this tough to define thing. It's a tough thing to nail down. Last week, we talked about prayer not being a formula. That in my brain, I'm not mathematically minded at all, praise God. But in my brain, I want prayer to be a formula. I want prayer to be, you know, number of minutes in prayer plus severity of prayer equals answered prayer. Or whatever I need to do on this side of the equation equals answered prayer. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes I pray, God help me. Just a simple two-word prayer, and wow, God showed up in an amazing way, and he was there to help. Other times, I and we as a church have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for something, and it didn't go the way we wanted or expected. It's not that formula. So in prayer, we hold a couple really important truths in balance. The first we see in Matthew 6, verse 8. This first truth, we're going to keep it over here. Jesus says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So that's on one side. On the other side, in Luke 11, again, Jesus teaches, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Two kind of contrasting ideas, maybe contrasting, maybe not. So God knows exactly what we need. God knows what we need before we pray it. God knows everything. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. He's all the omnis. God is outside the bounds of time and space. He's more powerful than we can fathom. First service, I tried to say the word unfathomable. I did it right that time, and I messed it up, so I switched it. He's unfathomably powerful. He knows us. He knows our heart and our mind and our spirit and our relationships and our life. He knows us down to the very cells that he created us in. He knows all of it. But Jesus says, ask. Seek, find, ask of me. Still pray those requests. Yes, I know all of it, but make your petitions known to me. Make those requests known, name those. Jesus instructs us to pray, give us. Give me this, please, God. I need this. Meet that need with me here and now, Lord Jesus. God knows what we need, but still tells us to ask. And throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus loves when we ask. Jesus loves it when we ask, when he's ministering to people, when he interacts with people. It's like he's looking for that specific request. A good example of this is from John 5, starting in verse 1. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. And at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. We'll stop there. So Jesus approaches this man with this decades-long obvious need and says, do you want to get well? Of course he wants to get well. That could not be more obvious. Of course this man wants to get well. Of course he wants to walk. He's there for somebody to help him. But for decades, nobody would. He's like, if anybody would help me down to the pool, that would do it. If anybody would stop by and give me a hand, somebody, anybody could just intervene on my behalf. I'd be there. year after year after year after year. No, 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 it's not happening. He's waiting for years for somebody to help him. Obviously, this man wants to get well. And obviously, Jesus knows that. Jesus is not ignorant to this man's condition. He's not ignorant that this man, his heart is like, of course I want you to help me. But Jesus still approaches this man, kind of trying to pull the specific ask, the specific request from him. And the funny thing is, the man doesn't explicitly make a request. He sort of explains his situation, and Jesus, in his love and grace and power, intervenes. But there's something in Jesus that wants us to ask him for help, to wants us to ask him to meet our needs, to say, Jesus, please help me. Even if Jesus knows our need, and he definitely does, even if our need is incredibly obvious, Jesus loves when we ask. He loves when we ask. First, he loves it because asking deepens relationship. Asking deepens relationship. That's a kind of a weird statement. Let's unpack that for a little bit. Asking deepens our relationship with others and with God. But Jesus loves it when we make requests of him because he wants a closer, more intimate, more full, more whatever relationship with us. Asking deepens relationships because asking someone for help, asking something of someone, saying that, you know, I need something, I need you to help me, will you help me with this? That's an act of trust and of vulnerability. The trust to say, you know what, I trust that you are willing and able to help me. And the vulnerability for me to say, I can't do this alone. I can't meet that need by myself. Asking is an exercise in trust and vulnerability. Will you please help me? Trustworthy person in my life, trustworthy God, will you please help me? Asking helps us feel more connected, this act of vulnerability and trust. My kids play a lot of sports. They play sports regularly, and it's one of my favorite things in my life, watching my kids do the things that they love. And we try to get to most of their games, almost all their games, and when I spend an evening watching one of their games, after the game, sometimes they'll ask me, Dad, you know, what do you think of the game? How did it go? Or explicitly, maybe sometimes they'll say, Dad, how did I play? When they ask me that, there's some vulnerability and trust there. But that also opens an opportunity for us to get closer, where I can respond by saying how incredible I think they are, how talented they are, how well they did, how hardworking they are in the things that they love. Okay, the ask creates an opportunity for growth, for relational depth and closeness that would not happen without that request, without making that ask. So today is Mother's Day, so I'm going to talk about my mom for a minute. My mom's going to watch this later, and she'll yell at me if I don't talk about her, so I'm going to talk about her for a little bit. That's not true. My mom wouldn't yell at me. So I am 41 years old, okay? Thank you for not going, ooh, or anything like that. So I'm 41, and every year, every single year, around mid-November, 41 years old, I still get the same three-word text from my mom. The same three-word text around mid-November. Wish lists, please. Wish lists. Please, send me your wish list. And she doesn't just mean for her grandkids. She means for me and Lindsay. Like, what do you guys want for Christmas? Send me your wish list, 41-year-old man. And that seems weird, and it probably is a little bit, but this isn't just about making shopping for Christmas easier or more convenient. I think my mom feels loved and more connected to me when I can tell her, Mom, I really would like that specific thing. I would love for you to go out and get that for me, and I can open it on Christmas, and it'll be fun. It's a way for us to connect. Asking deepens relationship. Tyler Staton writes this. He says, when you ask anyone for anything, On the next slide, please. Thank you very much. Tyler Staton writes, when you ask anyone for anything, you risk rejection or at least disappointment. Until we ask God for something, he can't disappoint or surprise us. We cannot build trust with God without asking. We can't relate to God if we never ask. Asking is the means by which we build the relationship with God he designed us to enjoy. It's a big, long quote with a lot of really good ideas in there. Really hitting on, you know, the trust and the vulnerability leading to a deeper relationship. Asking is the means by which we build the relationship with God he designed us to enjoy. Wow. Okay, so in Jesus' instructions on prayer, he tells us, ask. Give us today our daily bread. He says, ask me. Jesus also loves it when we ask, because God empowers us through prayer. These prayers of asking, we are empowered by God. Asking God for personal specific needs, asking him to take action on behalf of somebody else. This is a way that God welcomes us into his work in the world, welcomes us to partner with him in his kingdom building. Not like, hey, people, you know, you just be down there and work and have your families and stuff. I'll be over here doing like the real kingdom building stuff. You just hang out down there and don't have anything to do with me. He's saying, no, I want to empower you to be with me in this. I want to be co-workers with you, humanity. So I'm going to empower you with prayers that actually matter. Prayers that actually make a real, tangible difference in the world. Not prayers of you're going to feel a little bit better about that sad situation. But prayers that make an actual real difference. A powerful example of these real prayers is Moses praying for Israel in the Exodus. And in the Exodus story, you know, God frees his people from slavery in Egypt. Famous story in the Old Testament. He frees his people from slavery. He divides the Red Sea. The people walk across the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians chase them. God crashes the waters around them. He rescues his people. So now they're in the wilderness, and they're like, God, I'm hungry. So God's like, here's some food every single day. And they're like, God, I'm thirsty. So God's like, okay, Moses, strike this rock, and there's going to be water pouring out of this rock. Have all the water you want. God cares for every single one of their needs for years and years and years and years and years. But the people turned from almighty, all-powerful, all-loving God the instant they had the opportunity. They turned to this nothing worthless idol and said, this thing deserves the credit. This thing deserves my worship. Not Yahweh, God Almighty, who wants to know us and relate to us and give us eternal life and pour out his blessings. No, we're going to craft out of the gold we have this stupid little calf and worship that. That's what they did. That did not sit well with God. In fact, he became very angry with the Israelites. And he said he was going to destroy them. But then Moses prayed. Exodus 32. Turn away from your fierce anger. This is Moses praying. Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you threatened against your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You bound yourself with an oath to them, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven, and I will give them all this land that I have promised to your descendants, and they will possess it forever. Verse 14. So the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. The Lord changed his mind. This isn't me saying it. I'm reading scripture, so I'm not going to get zapped by lightning or anything. The Lord changed his mind. Yep. Because Moses prayed. Because Moses' prayer had a very real impact on God and on what would happen in the world. God changed his mind about what he was going to do because Moses prayed. That's how God empowers us to make these requests in prayer. Prayers that are powerful and effective. That's not just some flippant verse about prayer that we find on coffee cups and things like that. Prayer makes a real, actual, tangible difference in what is happening in the world or what is not happening in the world. Dallas Willard writes this. He says, God's response to our prayers is not a charade. Okay, he doesn't pretend he's answering our prayers when he's only doing what he was going to do anyway. Our requests really do make a difference in what God does or does not do. I think of how God has blessed our church. And how God has blessed our church because people have been praying. I think about amazing things that are happening in our community and our world because people are praying. Okay, and the unfortunate flip side of that is what might not be happening because we're not praying. Because we don't have the thought or the trust or the boldness or the whatever to pray for that specific thing. In our lives, in our church, in our world, whatever it is. What might not be happening because we're not praying? Okay, we are invited and encouraged and empowered by God to ask God impactful prayers that really matter and really make a difference. Give us each day our daily bread. The second part of this verse is the words, each day. Give us each day. So Jesus loves when we ask because it grows our relationship with him. Okay, and these asking prayers are empowerment, God empowering us. The rest of this verse kind of gives us the how. So we ask, we're instructed many, many times to make those requests, but how do we make those requests? Jesus says, each day. I take each day to mean all of the time. Not just, you know, once a day, not just, you know, I prayed for my food at 7 in the morning and then I'm good for the rest of the day. I think each day is more about an ongoing pursuit of God and his provision. I think verses like 1 Thessalonians 5:17 back me up. Pray continually. Or the New Living, never stop praying. Those verses are not on the screen, but it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Never stop praying. So in this invitation to seek me out for your daily needs, your daily food, your daily bread, I believe Jesus is inviting us saying, you know, I'm here with you today. I'm going to be here with you tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. So in all of it, at all times, never stopping, depend on me. I'm here with you. I'm here with you for all that you need. The last part of this prayer of petition. Give us each day our daily bread. So we should be praying all of the time. And I think our daily bread is more than just literal, our noon loaf of white bread that God gives us. I think it's more than just the daily physical sustenance we need. I think Jesus is saying, go with me, go to me with your needs. For everything that you need, pray to me. Ask me for everything that you need. This is the huge things that everyone is aware of. The tremendous and world-shaping things. The things we turn on the news and I'm like, that now, or that again, or this is new, and what do we do with all of this? So the massive things, and also the tiny little things that nobody knows but you and God. The spiritual health things, the attitude things, the sin things, the confession things, the big things and the tiny little things, everything that we need. Jesus instructs us to pray, give us, Lord, we ask you to intervene for us. not just the massive things, but the needs that nobody else knows. You know, we love our moms, especially today, we're reminded of that, but we love our moms not just for the tremendous ways that they love us or have loved us, but also for the small ways that they've loved us. Not just the huge things, but also the small things. You know, I think of my mom. My mom gave me life. That's a big one. My mom taught me to love Jesus. It's a really big one. My mom would stop everything in her life to help me and my family if we needed it. The huge things. I love her for the huge things. I also love my mom because she makes the best apple butter on the face of the planet. And if you've never had apple butter before, I have like 17 jars of it at my house because it's so good. I'm like stockpiling it for whatever. You can come over to my house and we'll have like apple butter on toast and talk about life and it'll be great. It'll change your life because it's so good. But like not a lot of people know that. I love my mom for the smaller things that nobody knows about. I love my mom for when she calls, when she texts me during Bills and Sabres games and asks me questions or says, wow, that guy stinks. Like I love that. I love that about her. She's reaching out to me saying, hey, I know he really, really likes this. Let me try to connect with him. Nobody knows she does that. So when Jesus teaches us to pray for God to provide our daily bread, I think he's saying, give me all your prayer needs, the big and the small. Don't hold back. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too small. I love when you ask. Jesus never gets tired of hearing from us. He is here with us, and we can trust him with all of the needs, everything that that entails, all of the needs. Lastly, Jesus says this in Matthew 7, as part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. He says, you parents, kind of giving an example, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? I get we have a lot going on, and you may have checked out for 99.3% of this entire sermon. Those two words at the end, ask him, don't forget those ones. Ask him. Ask him because he's trustworthy. Ask him because he loves you. Ask him because God empowers us and says, you can ask those prayers. And I'm not just going to listen and make you feel better about a sad situation. I'm going to intervene. I'm going to be present there. Ask him. What was the sermon about? Ask him. Later on for Mother's Day brunch, what was the sermon about? Ask him, ask God. And we ask because our Heavenly Father loves us. He loves you. And he loves to bless us with the things that we need. So go to him. You can trust him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm thankful that you are all of these things.